This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right. Thanks for joining us as Hour 2 rolls along. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb. And coming up later in the show, we're going to talk Alabama-Texas, which is, I think, one of the more intriguing games this weekend. We brought this up with Arch Manning yesterday, how he's making all of this NIL money. And Arch Manning, it did not play in the season opener against Rice. In fact, Quinn Ewers played and then left. And then the third string guy, I'm assuming, is if you were to look at the actual depth chart, went in the game. And listen, I was saying that if you're Steve Sarkisian, you've got a problem. Because if you want to throw Arch Manning into a blowout Texas game, and he does anything good, you got a problem, because that is a question and a storyline that it won't go away. And you've got to nip that kind of stuff in the bud if you want the team focused on the upcoming season. You don't need the fans, the boosters, television, media, everybody else wondering when Arch Manning is going to take a job that Quinn Ewers hasn't vacated yet due to either injury or poor play. But that could be resulting, that could happen this weekend against Alabama. What if Texas finds itself really, really struggling? What if Ewers is hurt? What if, you know, you're in a position where you're in a close game and Ewers goes down? Would you bring in Arch Manning and then let the circus after that ensue? Yeah, well, I got to think you would, right? I could understand it in a blowout because, again, when he steps onto the field, I got to be honest with you, I think people are just going to want him to keep it. Right, no matter what he's in for. If he's in for a couple of series in a 55-0 game, and my goodness gracious, his throw looks great and his command of the offense is great against an inferior team that has already been beaten, you know how people get. They'll go crazy. They'll lose their minds. They'll want Arch Manning to play all the time. Is there a quarterback controversy? They'll ask the players if the players want to talk about it. I mean, it'll be really bad. And so you have to sort of not allow that to fester and be brought up if you can avoid it. This weekend is a huge game for Alabama out of the gate because they've got a new quarterback. They've got a different defense, but Nick Saban is also trying to get people to remember that, hey, you know what? In a world where Georgia is the leading dog, no pun intended, we want to show that we didn't go anywhere, right? Like, we're around. So don't discount us. Don't pretend like we're still not a powerful football team. And last year's game in Austin was really close. They almost lost that game. But when last year losing to LSU and Tennessee on the road, people were like, that's it. Bye-bye. See you later. Thanks for the fun, Nick Saban, and all the championships. But there's a new girl at the party we want to go pay attention to. Kirby Smart in Georgia. But he wants to sort of remind everybody, wait, hold on. We didn't go anywhere. We're still here. So that's why I'm looking forward to Saturday for that game in particular.
But should we expect that Arch Manning's even going to get in?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. If you're in a situation in a close game and Quinn Ewers gets hurt, do you really go to the third guy, the guy that came in?
He's, according to our lads, Malik Murphy is quarterback number two on the chart.
He is coming. So yeah, that's what they would do. But can you imagine the uproar that?
Yeah,
that
happened? I mean, that's. You know, you and I watched that game against, we saw that game against Rice, and we're sitting there looking at it going, why are they bringing in Malik Murphy?
Well, I kind of thought that's the reason they brought in Malik Murphy is they didn't want to
create
the storyline. I anticipated that he didn't want to be like, there's no reason to bring in Arch Manning and create more drama when you don't need it.
But what you're saying is right. Like, what if Alabama just comes in and just roll stomps over Texas, which... You know,
then you would bring in Malik Murphy.
You still want to bring in Arch Manning.
I don't think you would put Arch Manning in a if Alabama is winning 36-3, you would not bring Arch Manning in for mop up duty. I think you would go, all right, we'll just keep the depth chart the way it is.
Because I mean, I'm looking.
But what if it's 21-17 and Quinn Ewers suffers a shoulder injury? What do you do then?
Do you go Malik Murphy?
That's the question I have. What do you do then?
I mean, I'm looking at the box score from last week. Quinn Ewers didn't have a fantastic game against Rice.
Right.
You know, I mean, his quarterback rating was 57.9. That seems kind of low, right?
Well, you know.
Is that just average?
Threw three touchdowns. right? Something like that.
Yeah, but he was 19 to 30.
So that's my that's how Steve Sarkisian needs to play it. Listen, if he brought in Arch Manning in that game, we'd still be talking about it. People would still
good
be going,
or bad,
good or bad. It would have been like, oh, in a blowout win against Rice.
Or is Sarkisian waiting for the ink to dry on all his NIL deals?
I just don't think he wants the hassle.
Yeah,
I really don't think he wants the hassle. That's a lot. I mean, you know how people are, man. They're just going to go crazy. They're going to talk about it all the time, over and over and over again. Every question. So is Arch going to start on Saturday? No, he's not going to start on Saturday. He came in mop-up duty. Do you see a situation where Arch will play on Saturday? No, he just came in mop-up duty. Do you think Quinn Ewers should be worried about his? He just came in for mop-up duty. God, that's how it would get over and over and over again.
No, what he needs to, adopt Belichick.
Right. And just
immediately.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
On to Oklahoma.
Yeah. Is Arch Manning who? Arch who? Yeah, enough. And just leave it at that. That would probably work out better. But that's what he would be opening a door of just constant conversation that is not helpful to Quinn Ewers this season. I mean, I think his goal is to help, you know, have Quinn Ewers run this team until he can't run this team anymore. He's ineffective or he's hurt. And then a decision is going to have to be made on either Arch Manning or Malik Murphy. But I also think that that's the best situation for him. Not to throw Arch Manning right into this mess, let him continue to grow at Texas. But eventually you're not going to contain that long. Something's going to pop up and then you're going to have to address it. If he's in a close game with Alabama, right? It's really tight, back and forth, tight game. And Quinn Ewers gets hurt, and he doesn't put in Arch Manning, he's going to hear about it. If he does put in Arch Manning, he's going to hear about it. So he's got – his hope is that Quinn Ewers plays really good as much as possible if he doesn't want to cause any conflict. But if he does lose Quinn Ewers to injury, then he has every right to say, I've chosen the best one of the two, and the best one is whoever it is. You know, probably Arch Manning, but I don't know. I don't want to put Malik Murphy under the bus. So anyway, we'll talk about that an hour coming up in the next hour. Tonight, we got Kansas City and Detroit. Oh, the NFL season is here, everybody.
I mean, birds were chirping a little louder today. You know,
look at you. Now you're getting all like,
I'm gonna
like
wax
deep
poetic.
Thoughts. Yeah, wax poetically on NFL starting.
Yeah,
the grass. Nah. You could be like Wyatt Thompson. Yeah. You could be the show's Wyatt Thompson.
The grass just looked a little bit greener today in this hot desert heat.
Exactly. That'd be awesome. Like Wyatt Thompson does that for like the Masters. The azaleas bloom. Sun comes out. Water trickling through the streams. The wildlife. They know today is special. It's the Masters. Like something like that. You could do something like that for NFL.
Yeah. Nah. It was, it kind of has a different feeling today, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a long wait. You know, the problem is.
I loved what you said. I think you said you borrowed it from somebody else, but you know what? I'm going to give you all the credit in the world for it. Is that it's like seeing a friend, an old friend you haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah, and then you go right back to doing what you're doing.
You pick up right where you left off.
There's none of that awkward, like, we haven't seen each other in a while.
And it is really bizarre to me that I don't know why. Football, the break between the last game of the season and the first game of the season, it just seems longer here than in any other sport. I mean, I know it is.
It is. And it's 200-something days.
Yeah, and we have a lot of stuff to kind of occupy the time, but it's, I don't know. It feels like it's an eternity.
The one thing the NFL does that the other sports haven't really done well with. Well, I shouldn't say that because the NBA season is really tight. I mean, you end in June, you're back at camp in September, so it's short. Baseball, whatnot. But the NFL stays relevant all the time. Like, even when there's nothing going on, it still stays relevant, you know, because there's mini camps and there's other camps and it leads to training camp. And, of course, there's the draft and there was the combine in February and all of that. It stays relevant. But one of the things is that because the off season is so long, I mean, think about it, we have 365 days. It's like 240 days or something like it, 220 days that football is not being played. And it's a very, very short month. You know, it's you know, it's a very short season. But because there's so much news, what we talked about yesterday was what you end up doing is you spend a majority of your season in analysis rather than of what is to come rather than what happened. Right. So when you have games and then you come back and you go, okay, look, that team didn't look very good and that injury is going to bother them. And this is, you know, last night I saw this, this, and this, and they got to clean up penalties. Those are the fun parts of it. But you spend so much time in football in anticipation. Is Anthony Richardson going to be good? Is CJ Stroud going to be good? Are the Steelers going to continue to win games? Is Justin Herbert ready to take the team to the Super Bowl? Is Patrick Mahomes ready to going to have a setback? Is Joe Burrow ready to win a Super Bowl? Like, everything is about the future. You spend so much of the 200 days anticipating what it might be, and then when you get there, that's why it feels like it takes forever, because it's like, imagine if Christmas music and Christmas decorations and everything that is associated with the holiday, imagine if it started in May, right? And every time you walked into a store, there's a nutcracker and there's a Santa that sings and there's a tree and there's Christmas music on your radio. And you're like, it's May, but that's okay, because that's what it's supposed to be. And every day, it's every day, every day, every day. And then you get to the holiday and you're like, God, it took forever. Why did it take forever? Because you felt like its presence was always around, but no payoff. NFL is always around, all the way around. And here's the payoff, that we get the game tonight. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next as we continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Member here.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It is Wake Up Call. By the way, Philip on Twitter, on this, the most holy day, we wish everyone a merry Kickmas. Nice job, Philip.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
I don't think we can top that.
I don't think we can top that. All right, what is the good of the day on this Throwback Thursday?
I will do my best to bring in all the good. I mean, the good of the day really for us is the NFL season kicks
NFL
off tonight.
NFL starting tonight. Mahomes and Goff part two.
But keeping up with football, I came across something that I thought was really good, and that is Real Madrid's stadium renovations.
Okay.
Real Madrid, just real briefly, is a soccer team over in Spain, in La right. Liga, one of the top clubs in all of Europe. They have a stadium called Santiago Bernabeu, and it's 75 years old. But they took out a loan. The owners themselves took out a loan and completely renovated the existing stadium. And Tony, I think it's going to set the bar for stadium renovations.
How much does it cost?
I don't know how much it costs, but it's the big feature that really blows my mind. It has to watch this is amazing. We have, you know, I always think back to the Arizona Cardinals where they have the field that kind of retracts or removes outside.
Yes.
Right. They have the same thing where the field, the pitch, the turf, whatever you want to call it, it's in sections, it's in strips, and goes underneath the stadium itself.
So what?
Where it is treated to ultraviolet lights, air conditioning, water systems, and it's treated indoors, and it is pristine looking.
Okay.
And then it is raised back up. When I say strips, it's the length of the entire field. Goes down, like there's like five sections.
Is there any worry about the seams?
I don't know yet. I would have thought so as well, but it just not yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same thing.
Because it sounds like when you're breaking something up like that, it's not a continuous field like you would have if you had a regular field. You have it in pieces.
Right.
It's like the parquet at the Boston Garden. That was not one sheet of parquet
wood.
Yeah,
it was many, many pieces.
It was squares that were screwed in, and there were dead spots, and there was gaps and whatnot. Is there worried that there might even the slightest bit of seam between the sections?
If it is, then I don't think it would really be any more different than a
I think there's a way you can probably squeeze it together enough.
When you lay down sod, like when a team, you know, you had a rough weekend, so we're laying down sod real quick and the sod's coming up.
Well, in that case, what happens is the sod, the grass just takes over and blends together. When you lay down sod in patches, it eventually eventually comes together. If you keep breaking it apart and lowering it and bringing it back up, that seam, what happens to that? But there's probably a way they can really squeeze it together so that the seam doesn't exist.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like. It doesn't exist. And what this is doing is it allows that stadium to be used for all sorts of other venues.
That's great.
And they're estimating that it'll bring in an additional $75 billion through its time.
Nice. Very good.
Whether it's concerts, whether it's trade shows. I mean,
now,
whatever.
Is this a taxpayer-funded thing like it is in America?
No, because the owners...
I know where you were going. No, the owners are rich. Yes, so are ours.
Yeah, no, but I think...
Stealing money from the taxpayers to build stadiums.
Where I was going with, I think the owners took out the loans themselves and are funding this.
Okay, good. In Spain they don't even allow that kind of thing.
I think that should be
maybe
universal.
They do. I don't know. You know,
it's your stadium. You treat it as you
want it.
It's your
house.
Yours.
Yeah. So.
But no, it's the technology is just
it is great. It is awesome.
It's
mind-blowing.
The
it's
way
awesome.
This is done, because a lot of stadiums, like I'm saying, a lot of stadiums have this. Like the Arizona Cardinals bring out the entire thing, one flat piece, all the way out. This brings it down to sections. It's underneath the stadium, and it's all ultraviolet UV lighting. It's probably the same way a lot of people grow cannabis inside their house. The technology is used here indoors.
Didn't the last Super Bowl that was in just the last one we played in Phoenix, and didn't they criticize the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad. Because that technology is cool.
Because it was warmer.
They used a different grass.
It was
seed.
Yeah, they brought in a different grass. That's what it was.
Yeah. They had a different grass seed just for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They were going to use they had a year and a half to cultivate it and make it, strong and whatnot, and it didn't quite work out as well as they liked. Remember the people getting, it was kind of chunky a little bit. But that's great. All right, what's the bad of the day?
I got two.
Okay.
Sorry, I hate
might
to
have
do...
to carry one over, but we'll see.
Oh, we're definitely going to have to carry one over, because I think the second one is a larger one. But the first one is always up our alley. It's AI related.
Oh, this is scary.
Yeah. So an AI generated song has been submitted to the Grammys and has been deemed eligible for a Grammy because it was written by a human.
Okay, so the song was written by a human, AI performed it.
Yes, and the AI is it's an AI-generated voice of Drake and The Weeknd. I have it. So
okay,
it is,
yeah, can we play a little bit of it?
A little bit of it, yeah. This is Drake. This is not Drake and The Weeknd.
Okay, they're just... All right, explain what I'm hearing. I'm hearing the AI took their...
This is an AI-generated voice.
Okay, so the voice heard, somehow processed Drake's and The Weeknd's voice.
Right, you haven't heard The Weeknd yet. I believe this is...
Right, but you've heard... But this isn't Drake singing. This is the computer simulating Drake singing this song. Okay, that's really creepy.
This is The Weeknd. And so this song is eligible to be nominated for a Grammy because it was written by a human.
We've said this about AI forever. If they said, well, if you build this AI machine, it will devour all the food and we will all starve to death. Scientists will go, yeah, there's nothing I can do. I have to create it.
Yeah.
I have to. And no, you don't. But they go, we have to. This is just, we can't help ourselves. We're just going to do it. This is why they're striking. Most of it, they're worried about AI writers and TV and movies. It's happening. You're not going back.
And I listened to that song. It was like, I listened to it once. It was like, okay, there's got to be. It's going to be like Siri, right?
Right.
Or Alexa. There's going to be something in there that makes it sound a little bit more robotic, and it's not. Wow. I mean, this is, yeah, that's not human singing.
I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. I guess there's
two stories here, right? One is, you know, what AI is capable of doing. But the other one, too, is like, you know, okay, should this be allowed in the Grammys?
Well, you know what my thing is? This is one of those situations where I just think that you can fight it and you can fight it, but it's just going to be an inevitable way it's going to go down. And so you can say AI-generated songs are not going to win Grammys. And then after a couple, people are just going to go, yeah, but it should. It should. And then next thing you know, it's doing all of that. You know, I don't know. It's kind of scary. It really is, because that means that we could hear leaders in the country say things they didn't say, right? It means that people whose voice impacts the most could be caught on tape saying something they didn't, right? If I had a political opponent that I really didn't like, could I create a secret tape voiced guy saying horrible things about people?
Mm-hmm.
Could I do that? And then it would be up to him or her to go, that's not me.
And I'm surprised that has not happened yet.
Right. That's the bad implications of it.
Maybe it doesn't happen in this presidential election coming up, but I think by, 2028?
Yeah.
That's going to be commonplace.
And we need as a society to not, and this is a big ask, we have to learn not to believe every single thing. We have to take everything with a grain of salt.
Forget about it.
We're way past that.
Yeah.
We're way past that.
People will say anything on social media and develop a following within seconds.
Absolutely. And so that's where I find this really, really dangerous is in world matters. Like, I get it. All right. So Drake's voiced AI song wins a Grammy. But that's not the point. The point is the larger implications of it is the more accepted this is, the more people are going to go, yep, I don't like the guy I'm running against. So I'm going to have him saying all sorts of horrible racist stuff. And then I'm just going to release it. And like, look what we caught him on tape saying. And he goes, I didn't say it. And they're like, prove you didn't say it. That's AI generated. Prove it's AI generated. And next thing you know, we're sliding back into this horrible thing. I'm going to get off my soapbox for a second and go back to it. That was a catchy song.
And that's what's scary,
right?
That's the scary part of it too.
It was a catchy song, so
yeah. But it's not. I mean, it's the only human thing about it was that it was written by one.
That's right. All right, we'll get the second bad. We will get the dumb. We're continuing along. Happy football day, everybody! Kansas City and Detroit tonight at Arrowhead. Raise the banner and play football. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Our little Debbie Harry on a 1979 Throwback Thursday. Why not? Little Blondie on a day ESPN went on the air in 1979. That's our Throwback Thursday today. Different variety of music. Blondie. But is she part of the good, the bad, and the dumb? I don't think so. But let's get the second bad before we get to the dumb.
I think she's always part of the good.
The good.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything ever bad or dumb about Blondie. But the second bad of the day, it's, I guess in a way, we're paying homage to maybe a John Elway or Eli Manning. I just think it's a little too soon to be making this kind of a statement. But Caleb Williams' dad has already said that his son may return back to school if the team picking number one overall isn't to their liking.
So I'm sorry to say it like this, but I'm going to be more bold.
Yeah.
What he is saying is if Arizona is the number one team, my son is not playing for the Cardinals. That's what he's saying. That is what he's saying. Take that for what it is. That's what he means.
Yeah. I just don't know if this is, I mean, first of all, you don't know if he's going to be number one.
Well, that's the other problem, right?
I mean, I know the way it's been going the last couple of seasons, that it's always a quarterback going first.
But he may not be the quarterback.
But he may not be the quarterback. Remember, it was this time, a few years ago, we all pegged Tua Tagovailoa not only to be number one overall, but to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
And just like give him the Heisman now. And then this little upstart kid named Joe Burrow came along and stole everything from him.
Yeah.
And that's why I sit here and I look, I was like, okay, that's a bold statement to say, but is Caleb Williams really the number one quarterback in the country?
Are we going to stop saying give him the Heisman now?
Yeah, I think so.
Given that the Heisman seems to always be awarded by somebody, a latecomer that comes along and plays way better than we anticipated.
Who was the last favorite? Who went to wire?
I'll have to look.
Is that Tebow?
In 2010, no. No, 2008, no. I don't think it was Tebow. I don't think Tebow was wire to wire because remember he would have had to have been the first sophomore to win it, and there was a lot of people believed that you do not give it to a sophomore, so he was still fighting that. But I'd have to go through and sort of like who was the preseason favorite to win the Heisman that actually won the Heisman?
Yeah,
right.
The betting favorite.
Yeah. So if you are a media member that writes the give him the Heisman now column, stop like after week one or two, because it always is somebody that's like, hey, you know what? He's really playing well. That's really good. So, I think that's what he's basically implying.
Already pointing a finger at
He's already pointing a finger. He's leaving it open because Arizona might actually not be the number one team. Maybe they win a few games with Josh Dobbs. I'm holding out for the former Tennessee Vol, but it's very likely that they'll be in the running for it.
Does Caleb play baseball?
Yeah, is he doing that? Does he do that?
Can he do the full John Elway?
I'm not going to play.
I'm going to go play baseball instead.
So, but it's funny now because you can go back to school. You can declare, and then you can just go, go back.
Yeah, change my mind.
Like it used to not be able to do that.
Once you hired an agent, you were done.
That was it. You were finished. So
you're in or nothing.
Yeah. So you have to sell as much as you can now, because if anybody has eligibility, they may go, I'll go back.
Yeah.
I'm making a lot of money.
I've never been a fan of this. I mean, I suffered from it personally when Eli said, I don't want to play for San Diego.
Yeah, sure.
Well, forget you guys. Yeah. And they had to make a trade for it.
It is a very weird thing. I mean, it's one of those it's one of those processes we just accept, and I don't think many people really think about what exactly happens to an NFL or an NBA or NHL player. Like, you are told where you're going to go, and that's it. If you want to be in this industry, this is what it is. You don't get to choose where you live. Like if you're an engineering student and you graduate and you want to be an engineer, and there's a whole bunch of companies and they bid for you, and you can go, do I want to live here? Do I want to live here? Do I want to live here? Do I want this salary? Do I want that salary? Do I want this job? Do I want this company? If you want to play NFL football, then you get told where you're going to go and who you're going to play for. You don't pick them. They pick you. And it's a very weird way we do it, but it's the only fair way to do it. I mean, can you imagine if we had NFL level recruiting like we do in the college level? Forget it. It'd be a disaster. It would be an absolute disaster.
That would be fun, though.
You know what I mean? If college kids were like, well, I sat down with the Patriots and I like them, and I also sat down with the Dolphins and I like them, and the Cowboys, I like them. Now if you're an unrestricted free agent, that's fine. You can do that.
Right.
But the caveat is you're an undrafted free agent. I didn't mean unrestricted. I meant undrafted. Yeah, and then you went through seven rounds of the draft and nobody wanted you.
But it's almost better to be an undrafted.
It is.
Player, just because then you get your pick.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone comes at you and goes, hey, they're laying out the red carpet for you. And you're like, I don't know if I want to go to you.
If you're good enough to warrant attention and you went undrafted, you were in a position. But of course, you have to warrant the attention after you're undrafted after seven rounds.
But for Caleb Williams, I just think it's too bold of a statement. You've only played one game this year, and I think it's just too bold of a statement. I know that he is the favorite right now
to win the Heisman?
Yeah, I think he is, right? He's the betting favorite. But it's still, it's a long season. What if what if you get hurt? Then you're going to be begging just to be in the top 10.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd like to know the context of, did his father just say that, or did somebody ask him about it? Like, did somebody say, are you committing your son to the NFL draft? Is he committing to leaving college football? And then his father was like, well, if we don't like the circumstances, we'll think about coming back. But yeah, he's probably leaning towards the pro if the circumstances were right. But we do want to keep the options on the table. But it sounds, if he just volunteered that, then I'm going to say it. He is pointing to one particular team and saying, there's a lot of dysfunction there, and I don't want my son to get lost. You've drafted two quarterbacks in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And in the first round, and you're ready to go on your third? That doesn't sound like a stable environment. And by the way, if Kyler Murray is no longer the Arizona Cardinals quarterback for whatever reason, where's he going to land? Is he going to be like Josh Rosen? Is he just going to bounce around here or there and do nothing?
If I can make a prediction, if things don't go well in Denver, maybe he'll go there and get a full contract.
Maybe so, right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, think about Josh Rosen for a second. Like, Josh Rosen, not that long ago, was the 10th pick in the draft. He was number 10.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, again, talent and ability has everything to do with it, right? If you show up in the NFL and you bust, that's on you, right? If you're given the opportunity. But he was given one rookie season. A new regime came in. They said, you're not the guy we chose. We have an opportunity to get this guy. But you would think that if he's the 10th pick in the draft, that he had enough talent and enough ability to be a franchise quarterback somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But that didn't work out.
And that's the problem. And I can see the same thing happening here. You know, Kyler Murray may be on his way out. But he just signed the big deal, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
And so if you draft Caleb Williams and he's your guy and you get rid of Kyler Murray, what he's probably thinking, I don't want my son to be in an organization that's not stable enough to give him everything he needs to develop as a quarterback. Because it is probably the most unfair thing in sports to have a rookie quarterback and go, light the world on fire, kid. That just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that in 1 year. Because if you're a high pick in the draft, you are on a lousy team.
Now, I wonder if he even knew about this, too. Or is his dad speaking, you know, maybe, you know, is it something that they discussed over Labor Day weekend at a backyard barbecue or whatever? Or is this something where dad's just like, I'm just going to come out and Ball this thing?
We talked about this with LeVar Ball. How hard is it for kids, even when they become adults, to tell their parents to shut up?
Right.
Like, Dad, I love you, but keep your mouth shut about my career and my career options.
Well, I mean, I think this has gotten lost. You know, I'm surprised. I knew this was going to take up a segment, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised that this has gotten lost in the whole translation. That just being drafted by an NFL team, you know, just the honor, it doesn't matter where it is, the fact that that's going to be your career. That is, you know, if you are the number one overall pick and you got drafted by the Cardinals, and, you know, yeah, it may be not the best of situations, but looking past the football, you've hit the lottery.
Yeah,
you're done.
Yeah,
I mean, you made it. Especially if you're the number one overall pick, you're not signing for anything other than, you know, tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. No, you're getting some very comfortable life money. Right. There's no kidding. But I'm going to be now be interested to see where this story goes. This will be one of those little notes in the back of my head as we analyze the players of college football this season and who's not performing well on the field in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, does he need to win the Heisman again?
To be the number one overall pick? Well, it's not judged by that. It's like you have size, strength. But, you know, there's the other intangibles.
But what I'm coming in with is that, you know, if there's a last minute person to come in and
Well, Drake May is the other guy people like as a pro prospect.
And you know what? Hey, and he already won it. Are they ready to give back to back Heisman's again?
That's a good question. Love the Dumb next.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
I know you couldn't resist. You got to throw a little disco in
1979. I couldn't. Yeah, I still say no to the Bee Gees.
Part of the history of the musical era of the time.
But, you know, I said no Donna Summers, and then I bring her back.
When was, of course, Donna Summers was great. Queen of Disco. When was Disco Sucks at that White Sox game? Was that like 80? Was that in the 70s?
I think it was 70s.
I think it was in the 70s. I think it was. I think it was
when disco was at its height.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of backlash. That was a mess. You ever seen the Disco Demolition Night? was on July 12th, 1979. Yeah, that was great. What a disaster that was. 1979, ESPN's birthday today. We're celebrating the arrival of the Entertainment and Sports Programming Network on our Throwback Thursday. But we've been continuing with the good, the bad, and the dumb on football's opening night.
Yeah.
So let's get the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day. You know what? I think it's appropriate. That's why I'm leaving this song running right now.
Okay.
Because this song, I think, is almost appropriate for what the dumb of the day is. And it's not so dumb. I think it's kind of cool. But how did it get here? I have no idea. So the Minnesota State Fair has perhaps one of the strangest traditions for all of state fairs.
Okay.
And this has been going on for nearly two decades. Right? So there's a sky glider ride, which I believe is like a sky ride. You know, one of those, like, you sit in a little thing and it just kind of cruises over the top of the state fair.
Yeah, sure.
And for years now, people have been dropping things on the roof of the Kemp's Little Farm Hands Building, which is a place where kids and children of all ages can go and learn how to, you know, the life of a farmer. But it's inside, and, you know, there's a steel tin roof. And people have been dropping items on there, such as stuffed animals, sunglasses, paper fans. Unwanted corn cobs get thrown on top of this. One year, someone even threw a prosthetic leg on top of this roof.
Wow. Why?
I don't know. But lately, it's been nothing but bras and panties.
Okay, that's okay. Not on the kids' petting zoo farm. Let's relax a little bit, everybody. And I get it.
That's why, you know, I started singing. Donna Summer's got to sing it. This is hot stuff, baby.
Yeah. All right. Not on the kids' petting zoo farm. Don't
bras
do that.
And panties of all shapes and sizes.
Don't
from
need that.
G-strings to thongs to grandma panties.
Everybody
to granny
chill.
Panties.
Everybody stop.
And then they said, you know, the writer commented, like, we have bras for all shapes, from an A to a very impressive double J.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Wow. Well, again, so if now, it's a tradition and people are doing it,
now
right,
I
whatever.
Wanna, now I want to go.
Now you want to go?
Yeah. I want to go. I want to sit in the sky. All I'm going to do is, like, where's Ron? He's up in the sky riding
nice.
Again.
Nice. Would you say Michigan State Fair?
Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota State Fair. Okay.
Yes.
Minnesota State Fair.
Minnesota State Fair.
All right,
Fair.
Very good. All right. Good. Do they have like a deep fried bologna or whatever it
God.
Is?
God.
Whatever the other little people
it.
Are putting together?
They got to have everything. In fact, I mean, you know what? I mean, that's deep fried. Is there anything else that can be served at a state fair that's not deep fried?
I don't think. Like, I think everything.
Should,
I think try to deep fry
allowed,
everything.
Right?
Yeah, you should be everything. You just take anything that can be wrapped in dough. Are wrapped in batter, you should be able to fry it.
Yeah.
Fry it up. So.
See, I'm looking it up. Some of the new foods. Oh, my God. This sounds incredible. How about this one? How about a bacon-wrapped waffle dog?
Not bad. That sounds pretty good.
I mean, there's they always have weird things that, you know, I would not want to try.
Like, yeah, you ever watch Carnival Eats?
Like, I don't really want to do a basil hummus with spicy walnut topping.
No, I don't want
to. No, that's not state fair food.
No. You got to feel like you have a heart attack.
Yeah.
When eating state fair food.
Like, you need to have this bucket of birthday cake mini donuts.
That's right. That's right.
Cheesecake curds. There you go. That's blending cheesecake with funnel cake batter.
All right.
That can
not
do
bad.
That.
Not bad. I haven't been to a fair in a long time.
I know. We haven't. We went. We used to go to the Houston Rodeo, but we haven't. We didn't last year. I do want to take in the Texas State Fair.
I do too. It's one of my
people
things
were
like to do.
People just recently were posting photos because, you know, that Big Tech's legs were making it down the freeway.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Because Big Tech's legs are like 8 feet long. or probably bigger than that.
So. But no, I haven't been to a fair in a long time. There's a fair going on in our town, and I just don't. I don't go. I don't like the rides. I don't like the thing. But the food is kind of fun.
That's what fun. That's what you do there, right? You
but just I'm not go going on a food? Rinky-dink tilt-a-whirl
no.
or stuff like
no,
that.
No, never. The only rides that I ever do with my kids will always ask me, like, hey, can you do this? Can you do this? And I'll say, the only ride I'm going to do, I'll walk through that fun house with you.
Yeah, that's about it. I'm not going on anymore.
You know,
fair rides.
The roller coasters there, I just, you know, I mean, it's two things, right? We talk about this all the time. It's two things. It's some guy who just built it yesterday.
Yeah, put it together with,
and,
you know,
and then it's the
socket wrench.
And then it's the guy who's operating it who does not care about anything. All he cares about is like, all right, when's quitting time so I can go, you know, start the party.
Yeah. So enjoy your fairs, everybody, this fall.
Yes, and if you're in the Minnesota State Fair, if you're heading that way, panties and bras optionals, right?
I guess, yeah, exactly. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Kansas City, Detroit tonight to kick off the NFL season. So there's two problems with Kansas City tonight. One, Travis Kelce may not play, and Chris Jones is not signed. So defensively, they don't have their guy that can get to the quarterback, and they don't have the tight end that Patrick Mahomes likes to use occasionally. Now, I will say Patrick Mahomes has elevated himself to a position where it's okay if Travis Kelce is questionable for tonight's game. He'll just make the other receivers great. Okay, he's done that before. The last time Travis Kelce did not appear in a game was 2021, all right, when the Chiefs played the Steelers. And he was it was a COVID-19 situation, and he did not play in that game. And they just demolished Pittsburgh, and they utilized everybody around. They just utilized everybody they had to make up for the absence of Travis Kelce. If we know that Andy Reid is smart enough to do that, right? He knows that Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are both smart enough to do this. Defensively, though, the lack of Chris Jones on the defensive side is going to be problematic. My question isn't about Kansas City, though. My question is about Detroit. I said this at the top of the hour. I think for me, it is Detroit's answer to anybody that thought, why are they playing in this game? Now, if you paid attention last year, you know that last year they were one of the more exciting teams to close out the second half of the season. They started 1-6. They ended up 9-8. Not only did they end up 9-8, but they ended up in a shot to go to the playoffs. It didn't work out for them. They still went out and beat Green Bay at Lambeau Field on that Sunday night. But in the schedule that includes Jacksonville on their schedule, it could have been a rematch of the playoffs with Trevor Lawrence. You have the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, but even though you want to move the Jets to put the Jets on Monday Night Football against Buffalo for 9-11, get that. You could have put Miami there instead of sending them to Germany, send another team to Germany. You could have played Philadelphia in a Super Bowl rematch, highly unlikely. As I was bringing this up before, there were a lot of games on the Bills' schedule that they could have opened up with. The NFL did this on purpose. It was not randomly generated. That's too big of a game to just throw at your schedule makers and go, who are the Chiefs' opponents in 2022? Who are their home opponents in 2022? Just randomly take a bunch of them, right? Yeah, you picked Detroit. Why did you pick Detroit? Because they are young and exciting. And this is also, in a very small way, not a huge way, this is a small way, a reason why Hard Knocks can be important to teams. I think there were a lot of people who watched those episodes a year ago and said, you know what? That Lions team looks like they could be a good, fun football team. You really got to know the coaches, you know, Aaron Glenn, there was Deuce, what was it? Not Deuce Staley. Was it Deuce Staley, one of the assistant coaches? The guys that were on the Lions staff that went at each other. They would go at each other in camp. The things that you got to see at camp. Who would be paying attention to the Lions training camp unless you were just a Lions fan? But now Hard Knocks opens the door to you finding a team, knowing a little bit more about them, actually seeing their success. So this is the byproduct of that.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Because most of the time when they cover a team, the team ends up not doing that well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and that's why they were there in the first place.
And they went 1-6, and you're like, aha! Yeah. Exactly.
Like when the Browns did it that year.
Yeah.
You know, we laughed at the Browns because, you know, I like the offensive line coach who, yeah, he was just an authentic character. But like with the Lions last year, it was like, yeah, okay, we got a deep insight on an up-and-coming team. And they fulfilled. So I think that's why, I mean, right now, I think all eyes are on Detroit this year.
Yeah, exactly. Philip on Twitter, I would die on the hill that the Miami-Kansas City game should have been an Arrowhead because of the Tyreek return. That would have been just common sense in the NFL. I agree. I think that a game like that, I get you want to give, when you want to have a game in London or you want to have a game in Germany, you want to give them a little bit. Right. I think they gave them a ton. They gave him the biggest piece of the cake. Miami, Kansas City, that's a game that should have been here, you know, instead of, like, you could have given them the Chiefs and somebody else and still given them a star in Patrick Mahomes like you did when you sent Tom Brady in Seattle over there. But I think that's too big of a slice of the NFL cake to be sending over to Germany.